seaweed has a tendency of accumulating minerals. So we can't really start with big inclusion level. So we are from 0 to 0.5%, 1% and 1.5%. So that gives us like four inclusions from the basal to the 1.5% inclusion of seaweed. We tested growth performance weekly. And at the end of the study, we did the intestinal morphology as well as the cecal microbiota. And one thing we found is that there was like a linear increase in body weight of the animal after 21 days, even weekly.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai. AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. Kemin invites you to optimize poultry health and nutrition. Dive in at kemin.com/poultry. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. I'm your host today, Kelly Walmsley, and I'm joined by Olamide, a PhD candidate at Purdue University. Hey, Olamide, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Walmsley?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us today. I'm really excited to talk to you about your research that you've been working on for your dissertation.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to tell us a little bit on your background and where you're at in your program?
I'm presently in my fourth year of PhD. So I'm a PhD candidate at Purdue University. Prior to this, I did my master's degree. In South Korea, I studied aquaculture technology. So basically, I come from a background of fish, but mostly fish nutrition. I worked on feed additives. And I decided to come here to Purdue to pursue my PhD.
Well, we're glad that you did, because you've got some really exciting research going on. Before we dive into that, I'm just going to do a couple quick fire questions of a this or that, just that are a little bit different topic. We can get to know you a little bit, okay?
Okay.
If you're ready.
Let's go.
Mountain or beach?
Beach.
Aisle or window seat?
Window seat, always.
Fried or scrambled egg?
Scrambled egg.
All right. And then favorite chicken sandwich?
I don't really have one.
You like all of them?
Yes.
All right. There we go. Awesome. Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's go into your research. So you have been working with seaweed. And so if you can just kind of give us a little bit why seaweed and kind of what your goals were with achieving with researching it.
So I studied in Asia for a while. So it's like a normal diet for South Koreans. So I was thinking this seaweed could also be used in animal study because it contains some functional properties. It has polyphenols and polysaccharides, which is able to resist enzymatic digestion in the upper GIT. And so I came to the US, we have brown seaweed here. And I was talking to a colleague in Peru who asked me to explore the seaweed they have. And I saw this Chondrocanthus chamoiseau because it contains sulfated polysaccharide and at the same time bromophenols. And it's been used for antifungal, antibacterial studies, but it has never been done in chicken. So that's why I started exploring this seaweed. And it's been, we have interesting results since.
Yeah. So I guess, tell me a little bit. So you did a broiler trial and you've looked at it some with digestibility, but also you looked at it with different measurements of, or different inclusion rates. And then you looked at the microbiome and intestinal measurements, kind of a prebiotic effect.
Yes. What
levels did you look at? And then tell me what you found.
Because it's a novel seaweed, so we try to be conservative because seaweed has a tendency of bioaccumulating minerals. So we can't really start with big inclusion level. So we are from 0 to 0.5%, 1% and 1.5%. So that gives us like four inclusions from the basal to the 1.5% inclusion of seaweed. We tested growth performance weekly, and at the end of the study, we did the intestinal morphology as well as the cecal microbiota. And one thing we found is that there was like a linear increase in body weight of the animal after 21 days, even weekly. And but it also come with challenges that we saw reduction in nutrient digestibility. So we think the viscosity of the seaweed and the sulfated polysaccharide all together may have impaired the digestibility. But nevertheless, the chickens, they actually consume more to compensate for the lower digestibility, which give them the improved growth performance. And at the same time, we saw that since the seaweed has the sulfated polysaccharide, it's able to alter the intestinal microbiome dynamics such that we saw a distinct better diversity, which we further checked using Ancom BC to see how these bacteria are differentiated. So we saw that there's increase in probiotics such as Bifidobacteria and Butyrhynchococcus. So these bacteria are actually bacteria that could increase butyrate, which is short-chain fatty acids. So we further proceed to do the cecal short-chain fatty acid. And we did saw like a tendency for an increase in butyrate. So we think this may serve as a fuel for the colonites, which improved the villus height we saw and definitely translate to the increased growth performance.
Interesting. So you're looking at small inclusion, so just trying to improve mostly gut health.
Yes.
I guess, what do you attribute to that? You said the viscosity of the digester maybe to have some of that negative impact on digestibility.
Yes.
Were you able to measure digestive viscosity?
We didn't measure that actually, but we did measure the water holding capacity, and we saw that it has high holding capacity. So that would be something to look at in the future, but that was just our speculations.
Sure. How did you look at water holding capacity?
We weighed the seaweed, the ingredients, and then we just did a common methodology to see how water holds after a while when we centrifuge.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I've seen that very often. That's an interesting way to look at it. I know when we've done gut viscosity in our lab, sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't at all. So, so it can be a hard measurement to look at. I think there's just, it's kind of a moving target. It seems like, but that I like that kind of following it up that way with the water holding capacity of the ingredient. That's interesting. So what are your next steps then?
We actually did a follow-up study, recently, and, unfortunately, to our hypothesis, we didn't really see reproducibility of the result because we expected that seaweed would also perform as it did in the first study. And then we realized that there was really no change in growth performance and at higher inclusion level because our previous study, we did up to 1.5%. And now we increase it to 2% thinking we're going to see some changes, but there was really none. And at 2%, it actually led to more quadratic response in that there was limited growth at 2%.
Do you know with the seaweed that you were getting, how consistent it was, or was it from the same source of seaweed that you got one big load in at a time? And so you were just pulling from that source, or was it multiple deliveries? Or
for the first study, we actually procured from the same producer or seller. And so the second study, we also did the same, but we are not so sure whether the batch is the same.
Yeah.
Because for seaweed, during the period of summer, they actually have increased polysaccharides. But during winter, this is reduced. So it's also the same with the polyphenols. So there's seasonal variation in the bioactive compound in seaweed. So basically, if they harvest it during summer or in winter, you might be able to get different results. So that's something we're going to look at in the future to see how seasonal variability affects the consistency of results.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your poultry operation to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Fortishell and Vitasea Feedlock, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in poultry production. From shell quality to feed biosecurity and more, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Very interesting. And then do you think there might be some other seaweed sources or candidates that might be out there I think there are some commercially available products or additives that are at least maybe seaweed derived. I'm not 100% sure, but I think there are some. And but maybe there are some other product or candidates out there that you might be able to look at, or in looking at those concentrations of like polyphenols in them to choose them that way? Or what's your thought process?
Actually, there's a lot of studies out there because, you know, seaweed is differentiated by the color. So we have red seaweed, we have brown seaweed. And I think there's a company here in the United States that is selling the extract. So mostly some studies have reported that the extract of seaweed actually perform more, but we are not so sure as the result is not really consistent everywhere. So it would be nice to actually, you know, analyze the result based on the color. So try brown seaweed, the green seaweed, and then the red seaweed, and see which one is actually much more functional.
And then divide it out by the season, right?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. If there's a funding for that. So.
There we go. You heard it. We can do the research. We just need a little bit of funding for it, right?
Yes.
Is there anything else that you want to leave people with today?
Not much. It's just that since we are moving from a more antibiotic reliance poultry system, and we want to go into antibiotic free poultry system, it's best we try sustainable approaches. And seaweed is one. Like in the United States, we have brown seaweed, sargassum, but it's filled up every year into landfill. So this way, maybe we need more funding to do the research, and we also need to find a way for industries to adopt this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Olamide, for your insight today and sharing a little bit of your research. Really appreciate your time, and I hope to have you back maybe a little bit closer when you finish it up in December, maybe before that, to talk to us about some of the further research that you've done.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, this concludes another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.